Blah, blah, blah. Hello. Okay.
Hello.
Cool.
How are you?
Welcome to episode 3 of Why I Failed Your Class. Hi, Ted.
Hi. 3 of what?
Why I Failed Your Class.
Nice. Okay.
That's the name.
I'm in. And
that's
I'm here.
The name. You know. Yes. I'm so glad you're here and Kashmir's here.
Yes. Kashmir's listening.
She's so good.
Oh, my baby.
She's like, where's the cheese?
Exactly. No cheese like
her mouth. Most beautiful dog in the world. Mm. All right. Thank you guys. Well, so I want to just address that we've gotten a lot of love on TikTok. Even Ted's aware of it now because I showed him.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. There's people saying like, oh, there was one person who said, as a future English teacher, I'm so happy. Like, I hope I can be like this.
Aw, that's sweet. Oh,
yeah.
That's nice.
And people are like, it's always the English teachers, which is true. It's never really the math teachers. It's never really the calc teachers who are...
Well, when you think about it, what are we dealing with all the time? We're dealing with
emotions.
Life stories. Yes, and emotions, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's really only one story.
What
Did
do you
know that?
Mean?
Yeah, there's only one story. It's the life story. And everybody tells their life story differently. So you have all these versions. And sometimes we relate to them and sometimes we don't.
Yeah.
You know, so.
There's always that universal story. I feel like you can find something to relate to in everyone's story.
You know where I read that from was, I think it was from, oh my God, I'm so bad at names.
You are.
Stephen King? King, in his book about writing.
Oh, I love that book.
Yeah, I think that's where I
got
it from.
On writing. I think I have
it up
there.
Yeah.
We had to read that for Lenore's class, for the writing class in Brookdale. And I'm so happy I've had to read that.
Yeah.
That helped me so much. I always think whenever I'm writing things, I think about how Stephen King said you have to like kill your darlings in writing because I'm so sentimental and I'll get so attached, but then I'll just nix it and then I can move on.
Yeah, he has some really good suggestions there.
He does. He has great insight. And that's the other thing. Oh, that's my glasses.
Oh.
That's the other thing. Like, I am trying to write a book and someone on TikTok said, that's great because he's an English teacher so he can help edit your book. And, you know... It's true. He still helps me edit things. Like for right now I work for Asbury Park Demands, which is a coalition in Asbury Park. And we're trying to get legislation passed so that we can have a community review board. So I've been writing posts for their Instagram. And if you follow Asbury Park Demands, which you should, because we need all the support we can get. We need all the people calling our council people to try to get this civilian review board. Ted has helped me edit my little posts for that. So that's just another plug. Follow Asbury Park Demands and also see in your town if they're trying to work on a civilian review board to keep the cops accountable.
It's important that we make some changes here. We definitely have to, especially after what we saw happen in Washington.
Yeah, we're right now, it's like been 4 days since that attempted coup in Washington, D.C. And I mean, we both have a lot of feelings on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's time for the donut of the day.
I've been looking at those donuts. Mmm.
Today?
Do you got any coffee? No coffee. Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I knew you were going to ask.
Donuts and coffee.
I knew I was going to disappoint you.
No, that's fine.
We prevail.
It's better that I don't have it. It's afternoon.
True, it's like late. Yeah.
We're late today.
So I got some donuts here in front of us. I took a picture of them, so you'll see them on Instagram, fans. But they are of the Dunkin' variety.
Oh, they're Dunkin' donuts?
Yeah. I wasn't sure how you would feel about that. Because I know you like are used to very good donuts, and I think these are good, but it's obviously a chain.
Mm-hmm.
So, is it okay if I break them with my hands? See, you always ask friends. You always ask your friends. You could touch their food.
Okay.
We've got, what do we have here? Some.
So do the chocolate first or the strawberry?
We'll do the chocolate first.
Yeah.
Chocolate with sprinks.
With sprinks.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I love that.
It's not bad. They have good chocolate.
Actually. Oh, yeah?
But, and it is yeast-based.
Exactly. That's, like, something that I've always preferred. The risen. Mm-hmm. I actually looked at the donut hole's menu last night.
Oh, you did? Oh, my God. The donut hole. I love them.
And they call them... They have cake donuts that they sell. Mm-hmm. And they call the Yeasty Boys, they call them risen or rised.
Oh, right. Raised.
Raised. Mm-hmm. Risen. Mm-hmm. My Catholicism's coming out. So that was the chocolate. But do you know what, Ted?
What?
My favorite is the strawberry.
Mm. Let's try it.
But it's usually with sprinkles, but...
See, that's the thing. I get a donut, I eat the whole thing.
As you should. Mm. As you should.
Now, see, I like to eat my donut when it has frosting. It hits my tongue first.
Oh.
Because then you taste it. So see, it's upside down.
Master.
Mmm.
He's a master.
Mmm.
He's the donut king.
The strawberry's good.
Oh. Jeff, the main theme of today's episode of Why I Failed Your Class is Jenna's existential crisis, because I think it's a big reason why I didn't do the work in your class. Also, just you guys, like, the format of this podcast now is each episode we're mapping out a reason of why I, like, a theme of what is it called, a motif, subject, mm-hmm. like the overarching subject of a little aspect of my life that could have contributed to the failing of Ted's class. So today it is that existential crisis. It repeats
as life goes forward in different areas of our lives.
What do you...
Right?
Elaborate on that. And...
Well...
Like it repeats?
Yeah. It was building. When we were a freshman, you totally weren't aware of what was going on for you.
Oh.
Because, you know, what was going on at home, I guess. Or you couldn't express it. Or maybe you were still... You had the wall up.
Or in my brain.
Yeah, you were too much in your head.
Uh-huh. Well...
You know...
That's, like, hindsight is 2020. When I look back at freshman Jenna, 14-year-old Jenna, it's like, oh, she had ADD and depression.
To get Jenna to participate, I had to be like a dentist pulling teeth.
Aww.
And I put on my gloves and my mask. No, but
really?
Yeah, but she wanted to participate. So once you did, you really opened up, and I would see your genius. I'd see what was, you know, what you... And that reminded me of me, actually, because when I went back to school, you know, after, you know, my career, I went back to college and I was in an English class, and I would not participate as much as I wanted to until the English teacher finally said, you have really good ideas. You got to participate more. I want to hear more from you. And the class needs to hear that, too. So that's how I felt about you.
I didn't know that. I didn't really know that. And hearing that is so, it makes me feel so good. Like, I don't remember exactly what I asked in your class. I remember one thing that I asked when you taught us this short story. And I guess I was getting real cerebral. I was in the middle of a fight with a friend. So I was thinking, that was at the top of my brain. And you were reading us, or we as a class were reading that short story about the person being like hunted in the woods.
Oh, what's the most dangerous game?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes, I think. And I didn't really like it, but you asked us a question. You were like, would you rather be the chaser or the chasee?
Oh, okay.
And I was thinking about, like, this friendship that, like, wasn't being reciprocated.
Well, that's also
I answered in that way instead of the way that you were, like, thinking.
Was it the chasee or the hunter or the huntee?
The hunter and the huntee.
Because
you were like, would you rather, do you think it's like better to be hunted or to be the person hunting?
Mm-hmm.
But I turned it into like being pursued. Because I, at that 14-year-old stage in my life, was thinking about a friendship that I was like pursuing and didn't feel like I was being pursued back. So I answered it in that way. And then I remember like you being like, wait, why? No, like you would rather be, huh? And then I like explained it more.
We talked about how society, in society, men are the hunters usually with women.
Oh, and women are the hunters. I was thinking about too. My best friend. Oh. So we're both girls.
And well, that's a possibility too, because it's about relationships. So,
yeah,
who pursues who, and you know, in a relationship. So,
yeah, that's the one thing I remember asking a question in your class and like getting a reaction from you that was like, "Oh, maybe I asked something good, or maybe I said something good." But also, like, I don't always remember all of what ninth grade, but. You do. You remember more than I thought. And we've talked about this before. But first question of the... Oh my God, I didn't get to the donut review of the day. Holy crap.
Is that supposed to be before? We can edit it later and change it.
Yes, like, yes, you know.
Right, you know how you do the magic.
I do the magic. It's what... So one of the first questions I have written down is... What is something I always used to say in your class? Kind of going with the topic of an existential crisis. Like why it didn't matter.
Oh, because we're all going to die?
Yep. Yep.
Yes.
So that was Jenna's mindset. You're like rolling your eyes.
Yeah.
And like I truly thought, I'm just, why yeah, would I you... do this work? I'm going to die. Now I know that the definition of what that is an existential crisis and perhaps early onset quarter life crisis. Have you heard of that? Quarter life crisis?
No, quarter life.
When it's you're instead 25. Of a midlife crisis. Yeah, hey, yeah, Matt.
I know. Well, that does happen too because at 25 is when you really start becoming your own person, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Before that, you're just... struggling and having fun and all kinds of stuff, you know, like you're still kind of a kid in your mind in some ways, especially for boys.
Yeah, that's men. Why their insurance is higher, right?
Yeah.
Well, for me, death was imminent, and and that's part of why I was like, why would I do vocab when I'm gonna die? I have to be stupid. I have to be wacky and I have to just make some friends. I'm not getting a job. I'm just going to die. Like, blah, blah, blah. Red flags all over.
And then you had the highest Lexile in the class, or if not the highest one of them, I can't remember exactly. So I didn't worry about you too much.
Aww.
As far as not doing the work. So
yeah,
that's why even though you didn't do much, I did pass you in the end.
Yeah, because you could tell. That I like.
Yeah.
What's a Lexile?
It's your reading level.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's...
I don't like to throw out terms. I thought... Okay.
I can just ask the question.
Yeah.
I know I can do that with you. So, yeah, that's the thing I said all the time in your class. And So in therapy, because I thought about that like all the time in ninth grade, for some reason, like, and I think that kids have this a lot, like even the 6-year-old I babysit, he's like, I don't want my family to die and what's going to happen when we die. And I think I asked those questions probably as a little kid. Did you ever ask those questions?
Oh. Yes.
Yeah, right?
Every
like
night
that's
before
like
I went to bed, I thought, oh.
Right?
I thought about my death.
You know, my grandpa used to say this prayer when we would stay over at my grandparents' house. This shit fucked me up. I was like, oh my God, why would you say this? Because he said, if something
if I
about.
I should die before I wake.
And I was like, what? No. Don't say that. And he would say it, and I couldn't, I did not sleep. I was like, Jesus is not taking me in my sleep. Hell no, that is terrifying. And like, I can't believe he just like, I thought he was so like daredevil-y for even saying that. Like, how dare you even bring that thought into existence. Yeah. It's very Catholic.
Very.
But yeah, so also I guess if you're like raised Catholic, which I was.
Me too.
You think about death, I guess, a lot.
I guess so, yeah.
Because you're always like thinking about heaven or whatever. I don't even know. It's been a long time since I've thought about what Catholic people believe. But they believe that you die, you go to heaven, and...
Well, you go to purgatory if you're not ready for heaven.
Oh, shit. Yes, purg. Well, I learned about purg in sixth grade because my friend Ivy said hell on the bus, and then her neighbor was like, you're going to purgatory. And we were all like, what is purgatory?
Sin is not a venial sin.
Oh, God. Oh, I forget you like went to seminary school or like you were going to.
Oh, I was going to become a priest, yeah.
You were going to become a priest. I almost did. Jesus. I mean, I was ready to go. Lord. But yeah, I guess Catholic people probably think about dying a lot. But I didn't, like, no one close to me died. And that's like a question, like, at least when I was that age, what, like 14? People usually ask, like, a therapist will ask, like, you're thinking about death a lot, like, did someone recently die or has there been a lot of death around you? No.
I think, though, I know for me, I thought about it because then I thought, well, maybe if I die when I'm up in heaven, I can watch to see that people really loved me, my family loved me.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that kids who come from a home where they don't feel like they're loved so much, they think about that kind of thing. I don't know. That was what my case was. So I would think about it and I'd imagine the funeral and my mother would be finally like, oh, I did love you, Teddy. Something really ridiculous.
Theodore. Yeah, well, that's real too.
Yeah.
And
that was when I was really little.
Oh. Yeah, I feel that. I could relate to that. I don't know about, though, when I had you, I don't know what it was. Like, I didn't want it. Like, I was definitely a kid with anxiety and was scared of it.
Right, so that was one reason. I mean, I noticed that if I gave you something to do, like you love to read and you're a very good reader. Even though sometimes you'd say no, but especially when if it was like an acting kind of thing, then you really loved it and that you would shine. And so I wanted you to hold on to those moments more than that other thing that you were saying all the time.
So thoughtful. Yeah, because, like, you could have so easily just gotten annoyed with me and been like...
I could have, but that's not the kind of person I am. You know, I mean,
no,
there are teachers who
not.
Do that, and I don't... I believe I'm there for every student, so I try to involve as many as I can, you know, and
yeah.
Get to know them and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a class filled with very vocal people.
Boisterous, right?
Cheerleaders, yeah.
Yes.
And, so
that was fun.
Yeah.
So early in the morning, though. I'll never stop complaining about how early they make kids go to school. But I digress. Another thing, well, this is actually going to be another episode, but the existential crisis also had to do with like me being like, I'm not going to college. I'm just going to like... I don't know what the hell I thought was going to happen after high school, but that is not something I thought about. And we're going to have a whole episode on this, actually, though. Just college, ? Because that's a big reason why I didn't try in school in general. But, yeah, sometimes you can't see. You can't see that end of the bridge.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
You never thought of yourself as stupid, though, either.
Oh,
so that was,
I did.
Right? You did?
Yes.
I never thought of you as thinking you were stupid.
Because
I mean, thought you were smart.
I thought I was like, maybe I thought, I mean, there were questions that I didn't ask because I was like, that is stupid. And like, oh, God, Jenna, there's clearly something that everyone else knows that you don't. That was a big thing in English classes. And in school, I was like, why does everyone seem to know something that I don't know?
Oh.
Like, why are they all doing it correctly and I'm doing it in a dumb way? But then I would be talking with friends and I'd be like, I'm very smart. But I did internalize being lazy. I was like, I'm just too lazy to write a paper.
You're lazy. You would say that too. Yeah. You said that a lot. I'm just lazy. I said, I know. I agreed.
When you're in school, you're like, that's separate from your house, and you're forced mm-hmm. to like, first of all, you were forced to get dressed to get there.
I hate it when kids are forced to go to school too, though. I don't like that. I want a kid to want to come to school, whether it's because they want to visit their friends or whatever, but also I want them to try to realize that, you know, this can help their future, and they, you know, they can learn how to think better, and so they can defend themselves better and figure out what
that's
they want.
That's true.
You know?
Big one.
Yeah. So that's why school's important to me, not just because, oh, I don't like the whole thing where they have to sit in rows and be good little kids, and we have to teach them to be citizens and, you know, stuff like that. That's not what I like. That's not what I'm there for.
Teach them to submit to the corporate man.
I want them to learn how to fight for who they are.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. You know? And literature helps that, I think, you know.
Yeah. I agree with that. But, like, hindsight is 2020 again. Looking back, I'm like, whoa, all those classes that I got to take, wow, I'm using that in my future.
Mm-hmm.
But back then I was like, there is no future. There's no nothing. Blah, blah, blah.
But tomorrow's your future.
Yes. But I was like, I don't even know. When I was in ninth grade, I think I lived for, like, drama club.
But
so
when did you get
good.
Involved in drama club, though? Hmm? You didn't get involved in drama club at the beginning of the year, did you?
Do you know what I got involved in at the beginning of the year?
What?
Volleyball.
Oh, volleyball, right.
Oh, I hated it so much. But I was scared to that I wouldn't, like, make friends before
I was surprised.
High school.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should have been. Everyone was surprised. Everyone was like, what the fuck? No. And I mean, it's fun. Like, volleyball's fun.
It is
And
fun.
It's fun to watch. Which was what I was mainly doing because I was a fucking bench warmer. but me and my best friend did it together because we wanted to make friends before high school, you know? Like, you're supposed to join a club, so.
Yeah.
I wanted to walk into the school and, like, know people because I was very scared to start high school. Like, it's so big. And there was kids from other towns. Have you ever had an existential crisis? And if so, how many? Because I'm on like 12 right now.
Well, I guess when I left for college, I think I probably had one. I mean, I didn't get to go to the college I wanted to go to because I didn't think, you know, my parents didn't help me in any way. So anyway, so I went to Pasadena City College in Pasadena, California, which had a really good acting program and a very good science program. And so I was majoring in science, actually, in chemistry is what I was going to major in.
Oh, yeah.
I actually got a scholarship to UCLA because I applied to the dental school. That's not what I wanted, but it got me in, you know, because my science and math scores. But
nice.
Then I didn't take it. I put it off for a year while I went to PCC to see what I really wanted to do, because I really wanted to do some theater.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, I ended up taking science classes. Even though I signed up for all theater classes, the day before classes started, I changed. So that was
God.
A real crisis. I wasn't sure what to do. And I was doing that because my parents wanted me to be a doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Then my brother got in an accident. And he almost died. And so when I saw him in that table, I fainted, and then I said, you know what, I can't do this. And at the time, I was dissecting an 80-year-old woman in my science class, and and I just dropped everything. I walked away.
Because
so
you
that
saw
was
death, or close to.
Close to death, and I saw this blood and these staples and everything. I can't do all that, you know, sewing someone together with staples, and it was just so gross.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So that's what did it for
that
you.
That did it for me. It threw me over the edge.
Wow.
Yeah, so I dropped everything, and I I got a job at California Land Title Insurance in California, working in the Hall of Records. It was really cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rad.
Mm-hmm. I met my first gay person. I was like, oh, there really are gays in the world.
Well, how old were you?
18 or 19.
Nice.
Well, I moved to New York when I was 25, so.
Yeah.
That was really not an I think that was an awakening more, you know, so mm-hmm. that was a really wonderful experience. You know, you're with a boyfriend for many years, and the breakup, that creates a existential crisis, definitely.
Oh, God, yeah. So anyway. And some bad poetry, if you're me. Is there ever a time where existential crises can be helpful?
Well, I think it is, definitely, because without it, you don't get to see what's good.
Mm.
You know, I mean, I don't think, out of all the things that happened, I don't regret anything, really, too. I can look back on it and say, look, I learned from this, I moved here, I did that, my life moved forward.
Mm.
That's why when someone kills themselves, it's very upsetting to me because they don't have a chance to see that this was just a little situation that, you know, could have been overcome and they can move on.
Their future yous that you haven't met yet.
Yeah, there's so many things that you learn from a crisis, really. That's if you look true. Within, you look at without, you know, look at the people around you, who supports you, who doesn't, all kinds of stuff. There's lots of things to look at. So I think they're kind of growth spurts in some way.
I agree with you. Sometimes, I mean, when you have a mental illness like depression, or even if you're just having like a bad moment, you think you're in it and that's it, and there's no getting out of it. Like this is my life now, but that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're,
you know, like the first one I mentioned, that helped me learn to say no.
Oh, yeah. Like, because you realized what you wanted?
Yeah. Instead of always doing what everybody wanted me to do. So.
Because you got so uncomfortable. Yeah. You got to the point of like,
what am I doing?
Well, thank God I now know. Well, that's so cool. I mean, that's cool that you didn't, you know, get to the freaking point where you were in like the OR.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I know.
So that's awesome.
Yeah. So that existential crisis helped me.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine helped me appreciate life
mm-hmm.
more.
Yeah.
And the preciousness of it. You should never live, I guess, it's a balance. You shouldn't live being too afraid of death to the point that you don't leave your house. But
yeah, there's.
It's important to have a little reminder. Like sometimes I'm like, oh, I should text so-and-so. I should tell them I love them. Like, it's not weird. Like, what if something happened? You have to, like I always do, I'm like, you have to give people their flowers while they're here,
That's my true thing. Yes.
And I get very, like, it's so precious. For me, though, the other thing that's, like, helpful with the whole existential crisis, thinking how, like, what are we? Does this even matter? It doesn't even matter what I do. That mindset is so helpful for me before an audition.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because you know how, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You know how you get before an audition, you're like, my hair, this strand is not 4 centimeters to the blah, 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 blah. And like, what if I blink the wrong way? What if I look at the camera? And sometimes I'm like, shut up. We're on a rock.
Brain stop right now.
We're on a rock in outer space. I could do whatever I want. If this doesn't work out, I could sell hot dogs. If this doesn't work out, I'll move to Gibraltar.
This is just one audition,
yeah. Okay? So just be your damn self. And if some little thing's not in place, the world keeps a-turning and we're all gonna die anyway. And that actually helps me so much.
That's the same thing with writing. When kids don't want to write, I'm like, just write. I don't want to write. At least writing, you know. Tell me why you don't want to write. And maybe then, and you want me to think about this. Well, I can tell you this. And it leads into writing, you know.
Oh, hell yeah.
So you just don't stop yourself from going to that audition.
No. Although, because there's an end to this all.
Yeah.
And you're going to
you're moving forward. Keep moving forward. Stop. Don't go back.
Yeah, because at the end of the trail, you want to look and be like, oh, I bounced here, all this cool stuff. Like, you can't do that if you're too in your head mm-hmm. and you're too afraid of, like, the minute-to-minute, like, oh, he's looking at me weird, or, oh, I probably look ugly, or, you know?
Another thing. Now, when I was, just before I had that existential crisis, you know, I was trying to figure out where to go to school and everything, and I left my house and I was able to move to my best friend's parents' house who lived up the street, and I was able to start thinking. That allowed me to think, you know, and that if I hadn't been there and if I was still at home, I probably never would have made that choice to, you know, to not be a doctor, because I would have been there with my mother thinking I had to make her happy, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? So little things happen. And even though I was homeless when I got kicked out, I was saved in some ways by my friend's parents and my friend, you know, who helped me. So, and then when I decided not to be a doctor, I ended up, my friend John was working at California Land Title Insurance, and they needed workers, so that's how I got a job right away.
Yeah,
as soon as I dropped out of school, you know, just things happen that are meant to happen, and you got to accept them and take them.
Mm-hmm. You can't, yeah. Wow.
If someone, a job comes to you and you're not working and you say, I don't want to do that. Are you kidding me? You don't know what that's going to give you. Take it for at least a while. Maybe something else will come along, but at least you'll see that you really don't like it or that you really do like it.
Like testing the waters,
I guess. Testing the waters in a way. I mean, you have, you need a job. You don't have a job and something comes up that you don't want to do.
I will never take another hot dog truck job again.
Well, you don't have to because you already did that.
Okay. It's not written in stone. You didn't know when you were in high school that you would be working at the, what is it called?
Land Title Insurance.
Land Title Insurance. Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't know. You're sitting in class.
Never. I knew anything. I didn't know anything about that kind of a job either, but it proved to be a really great job. I got a lot of my other friends into it, and they still do it today.
No way.
My brother. Yeah.
Oh.
And they make a lot of money because it was a really good business for people out of high school.
Hey. Anyway, but yeah, so you see, like, Ted didn't plan for this, and then he has new skills from taking jobs, and I'm not always being like, well, there's no point because I didn't go to my dream school, or there's no point because blah. Hi, Kashmir. So is there a way that you deal with life's existential questions when you're getting down? Like, is there a way you snap yourself?
Oh, I say, okay, this is an important period here right now.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what's going on in your life. Why are you feeling this way? I talk to myself now about it. You know, I say, okay, you know what? Maybe today I need to do nothing.
Hmm.
But think about it for a little bit and then get up and do something.
Okay.
You know, and one of the things I always said is let go and let God.
Oh.
No matter what God is to you, though, you know, I'm not talking about a religious God.
No.
This, you know, whatever your idea about God is or the powers of the universe, I said, let go and let it happen. Let things happen a little bit, you know, and don't hold on so tight and try to change it and worry about it, you know, like, because that's not going to do anything. It's going to happen. Whatever is moving forward, this depression or this event that might seem tragic or scary.
Yeah. Think about what's true, you know, in front of you.
Yeah. And what can you do?
Every little bit counts. That can help you get out of a little existential moment too. For me, sometimes it gets really bad and I like won't get out of bed, or I won't shower, I won't blah blah blah, or I will not text back. So when it gets really bad where I'm like, there is no point and there's never gonna be a point, or like I don't do things that are uncomfortable, that I don't know, like I just don't get up for work or blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Jenna, you're doing this so that you can be comfortable. Because right now, you're in a human body and there's nothing we could do about it. So you're working hard so that you have nice clothes to keep you comfortable, so that you can sit down and eat to make you feel good.
And sometimes, you know, but the thing is, it happened because maybe your expectations were too big about someone or something, sometimes too. You know, I find that for me, those kinds of things would happen after I had a interaction with someone in my family who I was hoping was on a better track, but they weren't. And, you know, you spent time trying to help them in some way, and that doesn't help either. And so then you fall backwards because, I don't know, that's...
Well, That's a little different than what I'm talking about, but I do feel that too sometimes. Mm. Like sometimes I'll get just really sad because I expected something different. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying like for if I'm like, why am I even doing this? Like, why am I like getting up every morning to do the same thing every day? And like when you're in your 20s, you're not really always doing a
job. What's your answer usually when you have that?
I'm doing this so that I can be comfortable. So okay. I can make my body comfortable. Like, so that eventually if I save enough money, I can get a vacation or I can get a nice yard, because that will make me comfortable, because then I can sit in the yard and I'll be safe.
You have a place where you feel safe and it's yours and stuff like
that. Yes. I'm like, we're doing this for the goal, because if you didn't work, Jenna, you'd be homeless. Or if you didn't work, you'd be cold. Or if you didn't reach out to this person, you'd be cold and uncomfortable because you wouldn't have a place to be. And that helps me continue to get up. That's what I'm saying. Like, because sometimes that could be hard. And I remember talking to my friend about this, because she was so almost just like, I don't know, I'm just on autopilot and I don't get why I keep going to work. And I'm like, it's to make us comfortable. Like, we have to do these things because we can't help that we're in our bodies right now. And I think we're going to stay here because we have good experiences when we talk to friends and we eat food and we can feel something soft and sit down. So, like, that's what we can do.
People keep us sane. So that's why it's important to have people in your life.
Yeah.
It can make us crazy, too, but people... Ultimately, the relationships are important to have.
Oh, yeah. For me, that's something I've been noticing. I get really upset and tired if I don't have a stimulating conversation. If I don't have a talk with someone, I get tired. I'm like sluggish if I'm not talking about something. Like
You think is important, or that?
Just anything. Like if I'm talking to them about their day and their feelings, like that energizes me. And in me, and you know, that exchange of like, how do you feel about this today? Or what's something nice that happened to you today? Mm-hmm. If I don't really get that in a day, I'll be so tired. Which I've learned now points to me probably... points to the fact that I should probably pursue a career in, like, social work. Or, like, talk therapy. Or something where I'm facing people every day. Which makes sense.
Yeah.
You with teaching, you do that. And you say how, you know, the kids energize you.
Yeah.
Now it's different. But yeah. And so I've noticed that about myself.
Even now, I still get energized by them. When I see them, I'm so happy to see them on the screen.
Good.
You know, and even in school right now, when it's kind of scary to be there, I like seeing them from a distance in the classroom. But, you know, I mean, and then, I don't know, I take chances that I shouldn't sometimes, because you really want to help them. But it is really nice seeing them. We, you know.
Yeah. Well,
but
we're in the middle. I was meaning to ask you this in general. Like, how are you feeling right now about school?
I feel like we shouldn't be going back right now, because there's too much happening. There's too many people getting sick. And I wish that they would tell us that we don't have to go back.
Do you think I didn't know that you had to go back this week.
Oh, yeah.
Ted, the numbers are worse than March.
I know. But they...
I'm upset. It's just,
they don't. I want to be there with the kids. I want to be teaching, but I want to be safe. And I don't feel like going back right now is safe. You know, a lot of the kids, my students, are just coming back from trips. Because they took trips up until, you know, the 11th, because they knew they were going to be away. So now they're going to come back and come to school. Well, I'll keep my mask on. I'll wash my hands. I'll stay away. I'm going to make sure the kids know, guys, this week, we're not. But thank God I haven't been sick.
Okay. Yes. Thank God. Because you've been in school since October. Mm-hmm. And you were really afraid. I was really afraid. I mean, things are good. You're good, which is good. But things are worse now.
Yes, they are. So that says stay home for another week at least.
And it's true. Like, people around me are getting it. And so it's not just like a number on a screen. But yeah, it's like, it's not, it's really getting really bad because of these people traveling, because it's getting cold. Mm-hmm. There's mutations in it, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to be okay because we're being smart. But, like, Ted shouldn't have to go to school. I'm sorry. I can't think of a worse
time.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a bad time to go back.
And he's going to be all responsible about it, but still, I think that's ridiculous.
I wasn't so nervous at the beginning of the year.
You weren't. Like, yeah, it was, the numbers were lower.
Yeah.
But kids so are, the numbers are so much worse now because everyone, you know, they saw their families. It's cold. It's flu season. People are dining indoors. People don't care. You guys, final thing, Ted's fridge review. You guys, I don't know if I've mentioned this. If you guys are real fans, you know that this man makes pesto because you've seen us dancing while we make, well, I say we make the pesto, definitely not me making it. It's definitely him. I would not dare interrupt his process, but holy shit, Ted's pesto. He makes it fresh with basil from the garden, and what else do you put in? A little lemon, some
garlic. I put walnuts instead of pine nuts.
That's the kicker. Makes your tongue feel less weird.
And yeah, and the walnuts are better for your gut too, your stomach.
That microbiome. This is your reminder to take care of your microbiome. It actually has a lot to do with your mental health. If you have a happy gut, you're less depressed.
You want a donut?
Oh, no. Honey, you want a carrot? I have carrots. You're so cute. I'm going to get more treats for you at Food Not Bombs?
Yes.
I'll get you carrot. I'll get you yams. So, yes, that is the fridge review. 1,000,000 out of 10. I haven't had better pesto. I hope my mom's not listening because she used to make pesto, but that woman, God bless her whole heart, she doesn't know about seasoning.
Salt, pepper, yeah.
She doesn't know how to season things.
Salt, pepper, fresh garlic, basil leaves, olive oil, very good olive oil. And walnuts and very good Parmesan cheese. Yes.
I'm not lying, Ted. I'm not trying to like kiss up to you. I've never had better pesto.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, it's really good. And that's our show for today, you guys. Oh my God. Thank you for listening. We love you. We love talking. And we're glad that you're so supportive, especially the TikTok fans. Holy shit.